Hello, I'm Teresa Ayers.
And I'm Janet Gallen.
And we welcome you to
Love Letters Live, which is a show about love letters and all the forms it can take. And I think we are going to go right to our guest today, and you are all going to get to hear a different kind of love letter, I would imagine, than you've ever heard, certainly than I have. So, Mark Gallopo, who is a grammar school teacher, and why don't you just talk about your journey here and what's leading to your love letter.
Thank you, Janet. I'm a fourth grade teacher and wanted something to do for my 50th birthday. I contemplated riding a bicycle across America from north to south in our state and realized I didn't have the physical stamina to do that this summer. And I decided instead to give a kidney, a gift of life, to a friend of mine.
And you want to tell us about your friend. And also, if you would, just tell us how you were raised or what came to you that makes you the kind of person that you could do something this enormous and call it your 50th birthday present. I was so touched by that when I heard about it.
I had just a wonderful childhood. I was adopted and raised by a loving family and was able to give, you know, or was given so many gifts as a young person, but never spoiled. Ended up adopting two of my own kids.
Oh, really?
As well. And have just always been blessed in my life and never wanted for anything. And when my friend Robert, when I saw him in the situation that he was with dialysis for over 4 years and very few prospects for the possibility of receiving a kidney from a living donor or even a cadaver kidney, I thought this was what I needed to do.
To celebrate yourself.
To celebrate myself and the fact that I have extras
of something. Oh, that's what I wanted to know, what you were seeing.
I have extras. There was a wonderful group that helps people get rid of things in their life. And as a person who is a religious scientist, I believe in opening myself up to abundance. And by getting rid of things, we open ourselves up to so much more in our lives. I joined a group called FreeCycle, which is a Yahoo group to give away excess things and connect people with other things that they need. And I had been doing that for the last year and just enjoying getting rid of all the excess clutter in my life. And I thought, I have two kidneys. I can give one away. I don't need it.
And you're healthy and you're young. And
yeah, I am at 50. I'm a very young 50. And thought, you know, let's see if we're compatible, if we have the chemistry it takes to find that.
So you had to go through tissue match.
We did. Find surgeons and find people at University Medical Center at San Francisco State. And we were a match. And
how did you present this to Robert?
You know, I had been asking him ongoing over the course of knowing him and just tidbits about his life and what it was like to be on dialysis. And, you know, when I had asked him his blood type, I secretly went and had my blood typed in just to see if there was still the possibility. And when I found out, I mentioned to him, I said, you know, I found out that I am a compatible blood type. You know.
But there's a lot more to it than that, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. There were ongoing tests to see if I was physically healthy enough to give up a kidney and have no other traits to take away from my physical life force with one kidney. And everything worked well for both of us.
One of the reasons that I am so touched by this is that I think most of us, we are used to hearing about the person who has received a kidney and the difficulty that person has gone through in the surgery and the recovery. And the truth is that a donor goes through a big surgery,
yes,
runs the same risks of infection and anesthesiology,
mm-hmm,
and has to recover, and it can't be easy. What was this all like for you? I mean, this is kind of a heroic thing to do. A heroic thing to do, definitely.
It does have that aura to it.
Mm-hmm.
But when I went in, I know I was going in for an elective surgery. Yeah. It was a positive experience. I wasn't going in because I had something wrong with me, that I was perfectly healthy and able to give something willingly and not suffer any ill consequences.
So the difficulty in pain of recovery and all didn't strike you as
No, it was all going to be fine. And mm-hmm, I went in with a mental mindset that I was not going to use the morphine. I was just going to, you know, take what medication I needed and as soon as I could get up and walk, which is what you're encouraged to do. Like with most surgeries these days, you're asked to get up and put your best foot forward. And I set goals for myself every day of walking around the ward and knew that I wanted to walk out of the hospital as soon as possible.
Yes. So, now, so and everything works. I mean, everything just always functioned. All your physical functions and your other kidney and bladder and everything just worked fine, right?
It did. It took a little while to retrain. And, you know, after any major surgery, you have the pain of the surgery and the healing of the muscles.
Had you had other surgery so you knew what to expect?
I did. I had had some tendon transplants when I was very young due to a hand injury. And so I had had those kind of things before. And that's standard hernias that one has in your life.
But your friendship to Robert is amazing. So tell us from Robert's side, what do you think what did you see in Robert from the time you said that this was definite?
Just a giddiness, a true giddiness.
Sure.
The people on waiting for organs are in a very desperate place in their life, living day to day tethered to a machine for their very survival. And then being able to cut that cord and move beyond that. And sadly, Robert had lost several friends that he's had come to know that were on dialysis that weren't as fortunate to receive a cadaver kidney or even a living kidney, which has a much longer lifespan in the recipient.
Even if the cadaver is a young one?
Absolutely. There's an amount of time it waits outside of the body before the recipient is notified and gets in. So there's some deterioration in the tissue.
Now, does Robert have family?
Robert has a sister. Mm-hmm. It was actually very sad because his sister had wanted to try to become a match. But from a very Christian religious family, her husband said, "No, you won't do this. You will not give your brother your kidney.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you to do that."
Do you know what that's based on?
I do. You know, both Robert and I are gay men, and I personally believe it was something to do with that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I see.
That this was not something he wanted his wife to do for her own brother.
Because he's a gay man?
I believe so.
Oh my!
It was very heart wrenching. It was very heart-wrenching. But as a gay man myself in the 80s, you know, we've been told not to give blood because of the potential for passing on communicable diseases. And
sure.
So I stopped doing that. And there's always this feeling that we're not clean because, you know, we're even though we live celibate lives and practice safe things in our life, that this was kind of a redemption of that fact. I was able to give someone else life.
Part of your wonderful, healthy, beautiful body.
Absolutely.
What an interesting point to make. That never would have occurred to me in a million years.
So that was.
So that was, in a way, a gift to you also for your 50th birthday.
It was. It was a very wonderful way to release.
Where and how is Robert now?
Robert is wonderful, and he says he thinks of me every time he empties his bladder.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. Yeah.
So he's doing quite well because of his disability and related to this. He's moved actually on into working on a library science degree.
How old is he, may I ask?
He's younger than me. I 40 something.
So he's going back to pick up life where he had to put it on hold.
Absolutely.
How wonderful.
How long had he been on dialysis?
Over 4 years, ever since I knew Robert.
Uh-huh. How did you meet him?
We're both contra dancers.
Oh, yes, of course, I know that.
Contra dance is this wonderful
social... I mean, I know you are, yes.
...social form of dance, and Robert...
I don't know what contra dancing is.
Well, contra dance is, if you know Jane Austen and the Pride and Prejudice dances, where the men are in long lines and the women face them.
Of course.
Contra dance is that kind of stately dance, only with an American twist and a lot more fun balance and swings.
Mm-hmm. And would you guess that was the contra dance is maybe a corruption of country dance or something that is
that has been explained, contra in that it's opposite too.
Oh yes, that too.
Because it's your kind of opposite from men and women. So Robert came from the Midwest and the East Coast and brought contra dance here to the West Coast for the LGBT community.
Oh, he did.
So he was one of our organizers for our Queer Contra here in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually brought my partner and I together because we met at the first Queer Contra dance we had here in San Francisco.
I didn't know that.
So it was a wonderful... I mean, Robert has just brought me so many joys.
Oh, I can see.
As well.
Yes. Okay, well,
Just reminding our listeners, this is Love Letters Live. We're here every week at this time. Invite you to enjoy us, to join us and enjoy us.
Yes, and enjoy us. So let me ask you, who would get your love letter? I mean, I think about you and this and just so many possibilities. Who's going to get this one?
This love letter, I think will go to my birth mother, whoever she may be.
How nice. Okay.
Having,
you don't know who this
I
is
I don't know
yet.
Who this woman is, or why I was placed for adoption, mm-hmm. or what miracle of chance put me with the couple I have, as I call my parents now.
Yes.
But I would write a love letter to my birth mother, and share with her the wonderful life I've had.
Oh, what a beautiful thing to do for her.
I feel, you know, a great loss recently. My father's passed away 2 years at Christmas. My grandfather died recently, and I received an heirloom box of his that he had written. As it was a letterbox, and on top of it, you could see the writing that he pressed through on his letterbox, and you could see his handwriting still in the top of his letterbox.
Handwriting is always the thing that people come to the magic of. It's the handwriting.
I have goosebumps just talking about that. I received this box just recently. He passed away a number of years ago, and it came to me from England. And as I saw this empty box, I thought, it's a nice empty box. I'll give it to my son. But then as I tilted the box in a certain light, I could see his handwriting pressed in the wood where he had written countless letters to other people. And I felt such a deep connection to this man I called grandfather.
Yes.
And And it was wonderful. So I would write a letter to my birth mother.
Would you read us what you've brought?
And
I gather that you have not looked for her yet.
I haven't, and I don't know that I would until, you know, my current mother passes.
Okay.
But, you know, some stories, I just put some notes. Some stories were meant to be written and others are told.
Yes, of course.
But I think, you know, for my own children now, I need to start writing stories and letters to them, so that they could have something in their hand to remember me by. The hand just really brings so much.
Okay, so once again, Teresa, you and I could retire and just let. So go, because you're saying all the things that we say. So go ahead and you just read. We've got a few minutes here.
You know, never knowing my birth family has given me a bigger footprint and a bigger grasp of life. And I don't have a specific letter written, but...
But those are notes of things that you want to say to her?
Because
I'm going to jot down what you say. If you were going to say, Dear
birth mother...
Yes?
I am so glad for the gift of life you gave to me.
Mm-hmm.
I could only wish that this letter would find its way to your hand and let you know that you have given me such a wonderful life. Knowing this wonderful couple I call my mother and father, and that your gift of life to me I have enjoyed, and from what you have given to me, I have chosen to adopt two wonderful children, and you know, carried on that process of loving those who can't be take cared for, you know, at that particular point in time by who they were, and I forgive you and release you from all, you know, sense of, you know, guilt associated with what you did or at that time. And
I have a question. What if you said, I release you from all sense of guilt you may be feeling at that time, because maybe she knew for whatever horrible personal reason that she had no choice.
Yeah.
And that she, in fact, somehow, even though you don't know what it is, did the right thing.
Absolutely. So, no, I thank you for that. That would work.
Uh-huh.
You know, I only could hope to meet you at some time in the future and share with you the wonderful blessings that I have experienced in my life and get to know.
What would you tell her if I were that mother? I would want to know the specifics about how my baby boy turned out.
Mm.
I would want to know every detail. I would want to know that he teaches school. I would want to know.
Yeah, and
could
and
you
I,
tell her those things? I mean, would you put that in here?
I think I would. Yeah, and I do sense that in my grandfather that you know I only saw him on occasions because he lived overseas. Mm-hmm. That I never really got to share the stories and the joys and hear about his life.
Mm-hmm.
So I would want to share that with my birth mother.
I would like to know. I would like to know, how tall are you? What is your favorite food?
To see if there are any things, yeah.
Whatever it is, just so I could get to know my son. You know, I'm 50 years old now.
Yeah.
Here's what I did
yeah.
for my 50th birthday, and here's what I look like.
And here's what I still hope to achieve with the rest
yes,
of my life.
Yes, and here's what I hold dear, and here are the values that mean everything to me.
Yeah.
So what are other specifics? We always say that, you know, specifics are the
specifics.
Name of the game.
Oh.
Makes a good letter a great letter.
Passion. I'm passionate about equality for all and working to fight for the unjust and help as many people as I can in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a public school teacher, that's my goal is to help every child be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to live a happy and productive life. And I would certainly want to share those aspects of my life with her.
Do you cook?
I love to cook. I'm a baker. I like making candy. I'm a preserver.
Okay.
Of jams and jellies and ciders and beekeeper.
I mean, aren't these important parts of a life?
They are. They are. Yeah.
I mean, they would be
the kinds
me.
Of things that a mother would like to know.
I'm a lover of literature. I love to read, and I do love to write, and I enjoy being teaching children to write.
And the beauty of writing a love letter is it really is a literary art form when it's done well.
Mm-hmm.
And it is putting your best self on paper.
I'm learning so much that I'm going to take some of these ideas back to my fourth graders.
Oh, good, because I'm going to write them all down for you. So your favorite authors...
Favorite authors. I love the fantasy of the Arabian Nights, the fantasy, the ongoing saga, how it doesn't just end when you finish the chapter. It's an ongoing tale.
Mm-hmm. I am a dancer.
I love ritual performance dance. I'm a Morris dancer, perform with a performance team at Dickens fairs and Renaissance fairs and festivals.
Okay.
I find great passion in my garden.
Gardener,
and
of course.
Sculptural creations
mm-hmm.
in clay. I have a kiln and work at my arts.
I have a kiln. Oh, so you have a lot more to say than thank you for setting me off. Yes.
Well, if I was to chronicle my life and all my passions, I'm definitely.
Why not? And by the way, since you don't know who she is right now and you don't know where she is, we talk about a love letter. Can be a lot of beautiful things, a piece of writing,
mm-hmm.
essay, a poem, a piece of, you know, lyrics to a song, so many things. But it's not really a letter till you've mailed it and sent it.
Mm.
So to whom will you mail this? And, of course, I have a couple of thoughts already.
I think I would mail it to, I would make a copy of it and mail it to my children.
Yes.
I definitely.
We can retire. Okay. yes, making a copy is wonderful because in the future you might want to know how you felt at a certain time in your life, and what better record than what you've written down, if it is your absolute truth,
it would be
for you,
mm-hmm.
and for your children, because it's not going to stop there. Your children are going to very possibly have children, and it could be in two generations this box will be found, and they're going to know something essentially important about their background
absolutely.
And who they came from.
I think those are
and what pride... they will feel, don't we all, feel really proud when some ancestor has been astounding. I mean, even you can talk to people whose ancestors aren't so, you know, I mean, outlaws and things that aren't so good, but that you come from something definite and so beautiful as you are, let them have it.
One of the things I tell my fourth graders in the course of our school year, we save all their writing.
Yes.
And it goes into a portfolio. And at the end of the school year, we staple it together, and I tell them, when you put this in the envelope, I want you to seal it up, take it home,
yes.
and put it between your mattresses. and I want you to forget about it for a year until you change and move or something.
Right.
And I want you to go back and take that packet of writing out from between your mattresses and go back and relive your year in fourth grade.
And by the way, you know what happens in fourth and fifth and sixth grade. They'll forget about it till, you know, people forget about those things for 10 years and sometimes longer, and it'll always be a joy.
And it is so magical when you find those letters.
Oh, I'm so glad you do that with your class.
It's great fun.
Yes, it's exciting.
You know, speaking of your fourth graders, I have a couple of thoughts here, if I might. Once upon a time, I taught fourth grade as well. And Janet and I joke about retiring because some of our guests are, you know this material as well as we do. But one of my goals in the Love Letters movement is to help children learn to write love letters. And I'm fourth graders I know very well. I'll bet they could write dandy love letters.
And are we willing to go out and do a class with them?
I would.
I think
if their teacher ever would like to invite us.
Receptive group of children.
How's that for
just inviting
myself?
And a love letter, as Janet always points out, as we always point out, it's more than just saying I love you. It's the specifics. It's planning it. It's who you're going to write it to. Mm-hmm. What's the goal? What are the specific things? Choosing the, you know, all of the specific things we think of in terms of what the person is ready, that other person is ready to hear, and sending it, stamping it, mailing it, and not expecting to get a response. But when you do, it's usually pretty.
It's a gift. You don't
wonderful.
Do it to get something back. But, you know, and yes, and doing them with younger people. I did one with a group of high schoolers. And, oh, they were just horrified at the thought of doing such a thing. And I made each one of them write a love letter to the person sitting at your left.
What a risk.
They were horrified. Oh, they were just horrified. And by the end of the time, they just couldn't say enough, and they were just fighting over which stickers to put on the envelopes. And turns out they all kept them, and they have them on their walls in their bedrooms. And
they are wonderful.
We'd love to see more young people do love letters. It's such a good habit. Well, this
and
is wonderful.
The
Mark,
other thought that gorgeous. I had, if I can have one more thought this time, is this letter that you will write to your birth mother.
Yes.
Could you alter it a bit, rewrite it, and send it to your adoptive mother?
Absolutely.
The same kinds of things that you know, make you who you are. I'm sure she had a very big role in that.
Yeah, and so much of it seems superficial, and it's those deeper feelings and emotions and feelings from the heart that I think need to be expressed in that letter.
And make every life better. And, you know, we've never seen a letter that hasn't changed a life, even if it's only the life of the and it's never only, but even if it were just changing the person of the life of the person who wrote it, because you get to bathe in the positive. You get to think of everything wonderful. And we've read a couple of stories about how physically good that is. Lowers your cholesterol and
brings people out of depression, certainly out of a blue mood.
Yeah,
it's wonderful. So that's really two letters is what you're saying, Teresa.
I think it could be.
Yes.
I'm not above
more than one.
More than one from the same core anyway. Mm-hmm. It would be a slightly different letter, but
and I think that would be a wonderful way to a wonderful gift for someone.
That is a gift. I mean, does your mother need another scarf? I'm just curious. Maybe she does. But, you know, this is something that we hear all the time, that one woman of 93 who received a love letter, difficult woman, but she received a love letter from her daughter, and it focused on the good, which is something to talk about, that, you know, you may have negative things that you feel, but the love letter just isn't the place for it. Save it for something else. And she reads this and rereads this and keeps talking about it as if she just received it.
Wonderful. It can change lives.
So that's all the time we have for this program.
Thank you, Mark. That was wonderful to hear about you.
It's a pleasure, Janet. Teresa.
Yes. So we invite you to tune in every week at this time. Love Letters Live. You can also visit our website, www.loveletterslive.com. You can listen to past programs. You can email us at that address, click contact.
And if you have anything to say to Mark, send it and we'll forward it to him.
Right.
And please remember that if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, we hope that you can see every week that writing a love letter is a special occasion.
So until next time, from Teresa
and Janet,
bye-bye.